Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to the Glass Half Empty podcast on the Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We are also joined by Vic Choksi from the Big Lead on the podcast. Our podcast is produced by Michael Schamberger. And our guest today is Pat McAfee, formerly of the Indianapolis Colts and formerly of Barstool Sports. Pat was made available to us on behalf of MyBookie. Pat, can you tell us about your relationship with MyBookie?
Well, I appreciate you so much for having me on, first of all. Love the Big Lead and everything that you guys are doing over there. MyBookie has just become an incredible partner here over the last week or so. After I left Barstool Sports, due to some stuff happening behind the scenes with the business side of things, I still have a great relationship with Dave and Erica, but MyBookie reached out to me and said, hey, we would like to help keep this thing going for you however possible. So MyBookie has sponsored my studio for my podcast and my friend's podcast. And we also created this new show called Beat Pat McAfee, where I'll be doing random athletic events, and MyBookie's setting odds on it and people can bet on it. And to be honest, I'm just so lucky that MyBookie.ag has just come through in the clutch and have been so incredibly nice. It's a whole new world out here, and I'm very excited for it.
I love it. Pat, Vic here. Excited to jump on with you, buddy. Speaking of MyBookie, the NFL season's kicking off, so we got to jump into some gambling picks, man. Do you have any for the weekend or any futures that you like for the season?
I felt real good about the under last night, and that hit beautifully, I think, to the chagrin of a lot of people. That Atlanta-Philly game was boring for a lot of folks, but for me, I loved it. With all the punting and kicking this weekend, I really like the Denver-Seattle under as well. I think those defenses will make some plays. And the first week of the NFL season, you normally see the defenses show out because it's see ball, get ball type mindset. And the offenses, it takes a little bit to get the rhythm, especially with guys sitting out during the preseason. So the timing might not be there yet. But that Denver-Seattle under, I feel very good about. There's a couple other games I enjoy. The Browns +4 in the dog pound against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You would think the team that has the reality show during preseason would be the team with the drama, but somehow the Steelers have out-dramaed the drama team. It's an incredible situation. I don't think Todd Haley and Greg Williams and Hugh Jackson lose by more than 3 there to the Steelers at home. I like those two a lot this weekend. And MyBookie has bets for everything, by the way. I'm also gambling on some WWE stuff and some reality shows. They are literally a one-stop shop for all the gambling.
Nice. I love it. So before we go backwards and talk about how you got to where you're at right now, what are your content and distribution goals going forward now that you've left Barstool?
You know, I have no idea, to be honest. It all kind of happened so quick. There was a bunch of things that kind of started happening. And then whenever one thing, it was just the straw that broke the camel's back. It's a cliche saying, but it was real. It was just a bunch of things started happening over time. And then one big thing happened. And I decided that it was time for me to move on. And I had zero clue of what I was going to do. So since then, we've launched our own podcast here, Heartland Radio 2.0, my podcast, and we have a quick hits game, our show that comes out every night on my social media networks, and the Beat Pat McAfee every Thursday. And to be honest, we got a documentary releasing on October 10th. I think we're just going to live in this internet world, creating content, and kind of see what happens from there, brother.
So you've mentioned a couple times the exit from Barstool, and you said you're good with Dave and Erica, but there are issues that happen between you and them on the business side. You've mentioned those a couple times. I've gathered there was some wiffle ball game that went down that you weren't satisfied with, but I was wondering if you could get into the specifics of these business deals, of from your perspective, what they were and what went wrong with them from either a competence or communication perspective?
So I don't have an issue with the wiffle ball thing. I actually enjoyed the wiffle ball home run derby. The issue was the sponsor that sponsored that was for 3 months supposed to sponsor my professional baseball game that I played in Washington, Pennsylvania. And then a day before that, it got pulled and moved to the wiffle ball in New York. So it was just a combination of things. The way Barstool blew up in the last year, none of us could have expected. When I signed on with Barstool, I was one of the first signings after the Chernin investment. Since then, Rough and Rowdy blew up, the ESPN cancellation. Just Barstool took off. And with that, a lot of new additions came to Barstool on the business side. And when I signed on with Erica and Dave, that was the deal was for me to stay in Indianapolis because I never wanted to leave this place. I absolutely love this place. But also, all the while, through full transparency, learn the business of the internet for when I eventually leave Barstool and do my own thing. Nobody on TV gave me a shot. No networks gave me a shot whenever I sent out some feelers that I was going to retire. Barstool was the only place that did that. So Dave, Erica, and myself, from the beginning, we've had really good relationships. But being 713 miles away can be difficult whenever full transparency is the expectation. And for me, it was a 50-50 revenue split on everything. So they said, basically, we'll teach you the business of the internet. We'll sell you. It will be 50-50 split. We'll do the business side. You do the content. We'll keep you updated on everything. And as the company shot up like a rocket ship, which is exactly what it did, Dave and Erica have led it in a fantastic internet business fashion. The business floor kind of grew immensely. And as you're adding people on, there was some sort of communication that was lost in translation with all these additions. We're talking 30 people being added to the business floor, like, quickly, bing, bang, boom. The deal with me out in Indiana wasn't fully explained to everybody. So whenever hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of ad deals are getting pulled a day before something's supposed to happen, and that's my only source of revenue, it just becomes something where I didn't trust the process of me being in Indianapolis, them being in New York, and trusting the business side of everything behind it. I love the Wiffle Ball Home Run Derby. I enjoyed watching it. PFT commenter, if you put them in anything, I'm going to enjoy it. But it's one of those situations where it just got a little, the waters got a little muddied whenever you have a 50-50 rev split and you have no idea the people that are making the business decisions for you, you've never met them.
So you mentioned wanting to stay in Indianapolis. A lot of these ad sales do go down in New York and LA, and I guess to a lesser extent, Chicago, though that's more accessible to you. As you go forward on your own business path, do you envision being in Indianapolis as something that's going to be a challenge for you? Or do you think that you're going to be able to set up systems that, because it's more of a micro business, you'll have better communication with people doing sales out on the coast?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think the funny thing about the internet is hits can come from anywhere. Views can come from anywhere. Clicks can come from anywhere on the internet. And as soon as I announced that I was leaving Barstool, my bookie was the first company that reached out. But then 8 to 10 more sponsors all reach out and say, hey, we still want to do business with you. We still want to make it work. So I've been very lucky that the relationships I've built with companies that were with me for the last year and a half while I was at Barstool are very on board to sticking with me no matter where I'm at. And so I feel pretty good about everything, to be honest. I'm very comfortable. And this fantasy factory that I have here in Indianapolis of an office would cost way too much money on the coast. And I just absolutely love it here. So I don't think it will be that big of an issue. Will I have to make trips? I assume I'll have to make a couple coastal trips to shake some hands at some point. But right now, for the time being, the business side is really good with our sponsors and advertisers. And I feel really good about being able to stay right here in the middle of America.
That's awesome, Pat. We're excited to see what comes next. So speaking in Indianapolis, you said recently that a bad interaction with Brian Grigson led you to leave the cult. So what's the reaction been to those comments? And have you heard from him, or, you know, just a little bit more about that?
Well, it's becoming like a trend in my life. It's That interaction with Ryan Grigson after the Thanksgiving game against the Pittsburgh Steelers was the straw that broke the camel's back. He had fined me numerous times before that for tweets that he didn't think was funny, things that he didn't enjoy, when all I did was just show up, work my ass off, and become the best in the game at what I did. And he just didn't like, he and I hated each other. And the abuse of power, I finally, because before my last season, I did a 4-city tour of stand-up comedy here in Indianapolis. I rented out the theaters. I sold the tickets myself. And we sold 10,000 tickets in like 45 seconds or something like that. And I got real fulfillment out of making people laugh and smile and making them just kind of get away from their life for 90 minutes. It was something I was falling in love with, the off-the-field stuff, more so than the on-the-field stuff. And I do believe the environment of your boss hating you made me kind of fall out of love with showing up to work at the NFL every day. And it just got to the point in that meeting where I was like, you know what? To hell with it. I'd had the thought. I had a dislocated kneecap in my kicking leg for the last 7 weeks of my final year of my career. So after kicking sessions, I couldn't walk. So there was a lot of thoughts of, like, do I want to continue to go through this type of stuff? I'm about to have my third surgery in 4 years here on my knees, because although my brain and shoulders should be good because I'm not a tough guy, real football player, my knees and hips kind of took a beating because of the amount of force it takes to kick a ball. And it was just kind of all these things led up. And then that meeting, as soon as he told me to sit down like I was a child, it just gave, that was the moment in my head. I was like, well, I'm done with this. And he has never reached out to me to apologize. This is my first time saying that I hate that guy. He hates me as well. I think it could go a different way if he would reach out? Because everything I said in that story was true. There's a lot of people saying, well, this is McAfee's side of it. Well, no, that's a true story. And you can ask anybody about how it went down between he and I. And it's just one of those things. We were two people that hated each other. And he was fining me a lot of money. And I viewed it as stealing money from me for petty things. And it just got to the point where I didn't want to make money for that organization anymore. I didn't want to make money for Ryan Grigson anymore. And when they fire Ryan Grigson at the end of that season, it was to the point where I had already made up my mindset. I had already flipped the page, you know, chapters come and go. Let's just enjoy the book. And I was ready to move on. But it was one of those things. It was just a straw that broke the camel's back. And that's the similarities between Barstool with the Colts. And it's probably going to be the death of me, is I just have too much pride. I just can't let it go, take it on the chin, and just keep it moving. I feel the urge to speak up, and it's going to be the death of me. I know that, but I sleep well at night.
Well, you're certainly a realer football player than Vic or myself. But you mentioned earlier that you use MyBookie to bet WWE. You've been on several WWE telecasts of late. What would you say the thing that you most would want to do in your affiliation with WWE would be if you could kind of write your own book?
Well, I want to be in the Hall of Fame. I want to be in the WWE Hall of Fame someday. I'll never be in the NFL Hall of Fame, although the new kickoff rule was basically made around the kickoff that teams did against me basically for the last 2 years of my career due to onside kicks that I would hit on people. I'm very proud of my NFL career, but it's very much understood that I will not be in the Hall of Fame. I plan on being in the WWE Hall of Fame someday, somehow, some way. I think I was born for it. My entire childhood, I grew up just excited for Monday nights. I grew up in the Attitude Era, so anytime the Rock got on the microphone or Stone Cold came out, Kurt Angle, and then before that, Mr. Perfect, D-Generation X, it was a nice mental vacation and an escape from everything happening in my world. And I've just been a fan my entire life. So then Michael Cole reaches out to me out of nowhere. I get a text. Is this Pat McAfee? Yes. Who is this? This is Michael Cole. And I was like, that Michael Cole? And he was like, yes.
It's probably more than one Michael Cole.
Yeah. And it was just it's been a very surreal situation with them. So I have no idea what's going to happen. They don't want me to change at all. Every time I go there, I've heard these horror stories about the WWE attempting to change people and being shrewd business people and all this. And when I got in there, I've experienced the exact opposite. Complete hospitality. They don't want me to be rehearsed at all. It's, they just want me to be me, and it's been a very fun relationship to kind of watch it grow. And I don't know if I'll be a commentator. I don't know if I'll be in digital content for them. I don't know if I'll be in the ring at some point. Just right now, I'm enjoying just kind of getting to learn the business a little bit, shaking hands with Hunter Hearst Helmsley and meeting Shawn Michaels and all these people. It's just become a very surreal thing, and I'm excited and honored to be a part of the family in a little bit of a way right now.
Is it crazy to you when these people know who you are?
Yes. Unbelievable. It's my first work with them was at the down at WrestleMania, the NXT TakeOver in New Orleans. And Michael Cole brought me down there for the pre-show on NXT TakeOver. And everybody knows that NXT is Hunter Hearst Helmsley's baby. That's Triple H's business. So when I get down there, Michael Cole tells me, hey, Hunter's going to come talk to you here in a little bit. And I was like, oh, damn, that's the Triple H is about to come talk to me. And he comes up to me. He's wearing a suit. Shakes my hand. He says, hey, it's just like kind of with Ronda Rousey, how we kind of are fans of each other. I kind of, your name's on my radar. We're just trying to figure out when the right time is to come together. Very excited that we have you here. And I can't wait to watch. I'm like, wait, you know who the hell I was before tonight? And he was like, yeah. I've seen you on the internet. I watched your games. I enjoy you a lot. Last couple of years, I've kind of, you've been on my radar. I'm like, holy hell, that is awesome. It was a very cool thing.
One more quick Barstool thing. So Dave has mentioned a few times that he'd love to have you on a contract basis on Rough and Rowdy. Is that something you'd be open to, or do you see yourself having severed ties with them for good?
No, I absolutely loved being an in-ring announcer at the last Rough and Rowdy in Youngstown, Ohio. To be honest, it might be my calling. I was a good punter. I do comedy pretty good. I'm an incredible cornhole player, but that in-ring announcing thing might be what I was put on this earth to do, just giving intros and putting people over. I absolutely loved it. Now, I have some conversations with some other MMA organizations that might want me to be doing similar things here. This week has been a very much a whirlwind, so we'll see what that happens, but I am very wide open to going back to Rough and Rowdy because I don't think there's anything like whenever the two people that have no clue how to fight get in there and start throwing haymakers at each other. It's an awesome event every time.
Pat, going back to my bookie, I know they created a prop to see how many threes you could hit in 5 minutes. And they set the total at 18.5. They juiced you heavy on the under. They didn't think you could do it. You ended up smashing that by hitting 25. Did you practice for that? Who knew you could shoot like that?
That was my home court, man. And I'm a white guy who lives in Indiana. Every Caucasian in Indiana has a jump shot. This is the home of basketball. So when I got here, I kind of got baptized in that. I felt really good about the over in that particular line. They viewed me as a punter, which I completely respect, and an athletic guy who's not supposed to be a professional athlete. And as we continue to go forward next week, I think I'm throwing footballs into a trash can, I think from 30 yards away. So they'll set an over-under for that for 5 minutes, the amount I can hit into the trash can. It's just a really fun concept that I don't think anybody else has ever done. We put it live on my Twitter and on my Instagram. People can get their bets in beforehand. It's just such a fun – I got a lot of tweets from people saying they were screaming in their cubicles for me to get to 19 because they hammered the over on me. So it's just – It's a fun concept, and I'm very thankful my bookie. I've had this idea for a while now since I retired because I'm averagely good at just about everything because I had ADD as a child, so I can play almost any sport. I'm terrible at video games, but almost any sport I feel pretty good about, and now we get a chance to really put our money where our mouth is. And every Thursday, 11:50 a.m., American Standard Time, we get a chance to do it, and it should be a fun thing this season.
No, you've got a hard out in a couple minutes. Is there anything that we didn't discuss that you're dying to talk about with us right now?
So in that beat Pat McAfee, I think I'm going to be a sumo wrestler here in a couple months. So let's look forward to that. I can't wait for that.
All right. Thanks so much. That was Pat McAfee.
No reaction. No reaction to me saying I'm going to sumo wrestle. A sumo wrestler is wild to me. I really kind of feel
like I don't know what the proper reaction would be there. What's the prop there? How long you can last before getting pancaked?
No, I think it'll probably be like 10 matches. Can I beat them one time? Like, can I get them? They're setting the lines, not me, but it will be something along those lines where we're going to set up a full. Have you ever seen Impractical Jokers?
No.
Have you ever seen? Well, you're missing out. The show is incredible. they have punishments at the end if you lose the challenges. And there was this one where Joe, one of the jokers, loses, and they bring in this sumo wrestler, and they set a whole scene. And I see that being very similar here. And then me doing like 10 matches and hopefully beating them just one time. But I'm probably going to get manhandled by a man in a big diaper, and I can't wait to do it.
thank you very much, Pat. That's a good one to go out on. We appreciate your time. Once again, this is the Glass Half Empty podcast on the Big Lead. Pat McAfee was made available on behalf of MyBookie, and we're definitely going to be looking to see what comes next out of you, and hope to have you on again when maybe the ground is a little bit more solid beneath your feet and we see what you're up to. Thank you again, Pat. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. Love what you guys do in the Big Lead. Cheers. Have an incredible weekend.
Bye, Pat. Thanks. Bye.
Such turned strange.